plate a potential nugget.
Back to the book, Mikhail. One of the things you talk about quite a bit is this concept of dual awareness. And you use the term skylight in this context.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about, awareness, I understand, but there's something specific you have in mind when you say dual awareness. So could you sort of expand on this one?
Yeah, dual awareness is, I think that's a new concept. I haven't seen it before brought together. I think that's what we're trying to do in this book, especially because the world has changed so much and there's so many high change situations that people find themselves in. So we want to make them aware of two sides, the external world and the inner world. So the external world, we basically ask people to make a judgment. The situation that you're getting into, is that a familiar zone situation where you know the answer, you know what to do? It might be high stake, it might be low stake, but it's clear what to do. Or is it an adaptive zone challenge where you actually don't, there's so much change going on that you don't exactly know what to do. And you need to enjoy the learning. That's the learning agility. If mm-hmm. in situations like that, you're actually eager to learn and you can focus everyone on learning and improving and finding the answers and moving, being adaptive, that's one. So that's the external awareness. And then we have the inner awareness around how do you respond to that? Now, these mm-hmm. two things need to be in balance with each other, because if you have a high stake adaptive zone challenge and you're not aware of your inner response, we just heard from the learning and protection discussion that you will be naturally wired to go into protection and then you will contract and you won't be able to bring your potential to the situation. So that's where the inner awareness becomes very important around, hey, what are my thoughts, feelings and body state when I'm entering a situation like this?
And what do you mean by the term skylight that you use in this context?
Yeah, so the skylight, I mean, that's in the old wisdom schools, people talk about the observer, right, or the witness consciousness. You're witnessing yourself whilst you're in action, and the skylight is actually a simple metaphor practice where you imagine yourself looking down on yourself from a skylight and you see yourself act, you feel yourself feel, and you listen to yourself talk whilst you're in action. And that's a very important practice to master, that witness consciousness.
And can you talk a little bit about how one gets there? What are some of the approaches for people to build this muscle? Clearly, it's not a switch that gets activated overnight. But if you could expand on some of the ways people could build this dual awareness and the skylight to observe themselves.
Yeah, so there are a number of things, right? So you can build in your work practice. So let me start with work and then I go to personal. In your work practice, you can build in rituals to actually check with each other. Are we getting into an adaptive zone challenge? If we are, let's be really aware of how we respond to it, right? Because we know we are at risk of getting into protection. So let's be very aware and let's be very open to help each other get in learning, stay in learning, and notify when we get triggered in protection. So that's a practice that you can actually do before you get into meetings. Or if you do it individually, if you look at your agenda, you can look at, hey, what are the external situations that will trigger intense emotions in me? Right? Now, then developing, this is a little bit almost like a pre-situation practice, right?
Before you enter the battlefield, kind of a practice.
Exactly, right? it's a locker room practice before you go into the field. Now, when you're in the field, that's actually when you need the skylight, And the way to practice that, I mean, we all have heard about mindfulness, right? And so meditation is a good mindfulness practice where you can practice this skylight in the silence and the peace and quiet of not doing anything, but just sitting on your cushion. And that that transfers to real life. So getting that same kind of like reflective mode whilst you're being in action, that's the practice. And then and the third step is doing it afterwards, right? So you have a before, during, and after. Now, clearly, the during is the most difficult part. And people in business are actually not really trained in it, right? I mean, if you're an athlete, you're continuously in the competition, and you get immediate feedback if something goes wrong, and you have immediate responses. So they have rituals that are much more designed to actually develop this this skylight capability. In the business world, it's a bit more difficult.
Interesting. I wasn't. Would you be able to share an example or two in terms of how athletes build that skylight in their training?
Now, yeah. Well, you see it. I mean, so for example, I'm a competitive golf player, right? So I can use a golf example. But when you're playing golf, you actually train yourself to have a ritual where you visualize your shot. And then before you start getting into the action, you step into your performance box where you don't think anymore, and you just trust your body and your training, and you let the wisdom do the work, right? And when you make a mistake, you actually don't linger onto it. You know that you want to linger onto it, but you actually let go and you move forward. And then, you know, so, and when you look at tennis players, they all have their rituals, right? With their servers and all the little things they do. And Nadal is a great example, right? I think he's probably the most impressive one of who does this.
Elaborate rituals. Actually, it came up in my recent conversation with a gentleman called Ethan Cross of Michigan, who's written a book called Chatter. And he says that some of these rituals help us bring order, you know, give us, when things are not in control, you do a few things to tell yourself that, okay, there are a few things I can control and I have it sorted. And sort of in a way, he goes on to say that that sort of at least quietens down the chatter in our minds as we play the next point.
I think there's a difference between a tennis player and a businessman, that tennis players often know what the unproductive chatter is. When you're in business, a lot of CEOs have a little bit of an impatient demeanor, right? I'm generalizing again, but just as an example, many CEOs I work with were impatient and want to get things done quickly. They actually might believe that that's a helpful mindset. What they don't see is what the impact is on the team, and that people are not committed to the decisions because they haven't really deepened them out enough. And then you cut corners, right? So it's quite important that you understand and you do work on yourself to understand, hey, what are the patterns that are useful and productive and what are the ones that are unproductive?
Sometimes accessing the skylight doesn't need elaborate practice. If we work hard enough to build the muscle of pausing and observing ourselves, we can slowly access that vantage point that Mikhail talks about. Rich Fernandez of Search Inside Yourself Leadership Institute, which was first incubated in Google, suggests that we can bake in mindfulness in the small things we do to get there.
When people think about meditation, they think about having to do exactly what I just said, which is set aside, you know, X block of time and, you know, sit in a certain way and close your eyes and protect this space for formal practice. But there's also a way to practice mindfulness and meditation in an integrated way. So for example, as you move through the course of your day, integrate it into your day. Between meetings, you know, if you need to walk to the restroom, make that a walking meditation. I'm actually serious about that, right? become aware of your body as it moves through space between your office and the restroom. Become aware of your footfall. Become aware of, you know, the felt sense of your body. How are you feeling actually in that moment? Or take the opportunity to focus on breath. Or this being in India, this podcast, you know, if you have a mantra that you're, you know, that you're familiar with or particularly like, use that. And I say mantra, and there's often a religious component to that. But here, what I'm referring to is really finding an object of your attention to train your attention upon it, whether it be mantra or breath or walking or sensation. You can really do this throughout the course of your day. I was driving to work today and I was focusing on my breath, not so much so that I wasn't able to drive, but when there was a red light, when I was stopped in traffic, in and out for three breaths, I noticed my breath. Next stoplight, same thing. Integrated practice is also a helpful one.
Thank you for listening.